to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. My sermon for today is titled The Anzac Spirit. The sermon is in two parts, part one this morning, part two this evening. The Anzac Spirit, Deuteronomy chapter 4, please, verses 7 to 10. May God grant us the grace to press on for the Lord. That's a wonderful special item. And as we consider this day and what it means to us as a nation, may God stir our hearts to press on. And I'd like to note a number of principles from the Word of God during this message that I believe will enable us to press on. To press on with that Anzac Spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 4, please, verses 7 to 10. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be gathered in your house. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into truth. And Lord, I pray that you would equip us, encourage us to indeed press on for thy glory. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This book, the book of Deuteronomy, finds Israel at the door of the promised land. God instructs his people that they are to prepare themselves to enter the land of promise. And within these verses, God outlines a number of principles. First of all, God reminds his people that they are a blessed nation. Verse 7, and what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? So God reminded his people first and foremost that they are a blessed nation. And may I submit to you this morning that we are a blessed nation as well. The country of Australia has had God's blessing upon it. We are a blessed nation. And then God reminds his people, as the passage goes on to read, that God is great. that you have a great God, O nation of Israel. You are not only a blessed nation, you also have a great God. May I submit to you, my friend, likewise this morning, we have a great God, do we not? Our God is not dead, our God is alive and well. He's active. We have a great God. And then the passage goes on to teach that our great God has blessed. God reminded these people that your great God has blessed you. And once again, may I submit to you, children of God, this morning, that our great God has blessed us as well. We enjoy many of the blessings of God. Then he went on to teach in this passage of Scripture, God said to his people that your great God has provided guidance for you through his word. And so likewise, God provides guidance for you and I through the word of God, does he not? The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And then God said in verse number 8, don't lose sight of what God has done for you. Don't lose sight of what God has done. There in verse 9, it reads, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Don't lose sight of what God has done. God has provided guidance. God has blessed his people. Our God is a great God, and we live in a great nation. We are a part of a great nation. The immediate context is in reference to the nation of Israel. The application, I believe, is for you and me as a people living in this present hour. Within this great nation. How easy it is to forget the past, especially the good that has come from past events. And this is what the Anzac Day tradition is all about, lest we forget the good that has come from the past. The Anzac tradition of courage, determination, and mateship was established during World War I on the 25th of April, 1915. When the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps landed on the Gallipoli Peninsula in Turkey. It was the start of a campaign that lasted 8 months and saw some 25,000 Australian casualties. This Gallipoli campaign created a legend, the notion of the Anzac spirit. And we as Australians take time to reflect upon what God has done down through history. And as God charged these people here in the book of Deuteronomy, shortly before they were about to enter the promised land, to beware lest they forget the workings of God, may I submit to you this morning, my friend, that we likewise as God's people need to guard against a forgetful mind concerning what God has done. On this Anzac Day, I'd like to note some spiritual principles as we reflect on this, on the meaning of this special day in our Australian culture. And as we do so, I hope that we will have what I would like to call the Anzac spirit from a spiritual perspective. First and foremost, I'd like to focus upon the word remembrance. Remembrance. Bear in mind that the book of Deuteronomy is a book of remembrance. God is preparing His people to enter the promised land. They're like at the door. They're about to enter in. And the book of Deuteronomy is like, well, it is God's last charge to His people before entering the land of promise. And in that charge, God stresses to His people, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Don't forget where you've come from. Don't forget the greatness of God. Don't forget how a great God has blessed His people. Don't forget that God has provided guidance. Don't forget that our God is God of gods and Lord of lords. Don't forget the God that provided your needs in the wilderness, because that same God will provide your needs in the promised land. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. See? The principle of remembrance. Deuteronomy chapter 6, please, verses 12 and 13. Reads. Chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 stresses the principle of remembrance. If we are to cultivate the Anzac spirit, spiritually speaking, then we need to be mindful of the word remembrance. Note then verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Isn't it a shame that our Anzac motto stops with forget? Lest thou forget the Lord. Beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve Him, and shall swear by His name, or be committed to His cause. The principle of remembrance. On Anzac Day, we remember the sacrifices made by so many Australians, including in too many cases the ultimate sacrifice of those who have given their lives for our country. Those sacrifices have been made to preserve a way of life, a set of values which we cherish as Australians. What we have today would not be possible without that Anzac spirit, lest we forget the Lord. Forgetfulness is not only an age issue, it's a character issue. Back in Genesis chapter 9, when God placed a rainbow in the skies, that was a reminder concerning the fact that God does exist. And God will no longer destroy the world with a universal flood. So that rainbow that we see from time to time in the sky has been put there by God as a point of remembrance, lest thou forget the Lord. It points towards God's existence. It points towards God's promises. The Passover meal instituted there in Exodus chapter 12 was a point of remembrance for God's people to remember that God has delivered His people from the land of bondage. And God said to His people, once a year you are to make big this Passover meal. And during the course of that meal, you are to remember how I have delivered you from the land of bondage. See, forgetfulness, my friend, is not only an age issue, it's a character issue. And if we are to maintain the Anzac spirit, we need to be mindful lest we forget the Lord. Lest we forget the Lord. The Lord's Supper is also a point of remembrance. As the bread is broken and as we partake of the fruit of the vine, grape juice, as part of our Lord's Supper, we remember His body that was broken. We remember His blood that was shed. And the Lord Jesus said, do so in remembrance of me. Brethren, there's something spiritual and significant about you and I not losing sight of where we've come from. There are countless illustrations in the Bible where God calls His people to remember. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 12, God very clearly and emphatically pleads with His people, then beware. Beware. Take caution, lest thou forget the Lord. Because God understands human nature. God understands that we are quick to forget or take for granted what we have. And you and I, God's people, need to be at the forefront in always reflecting upon what God has done on our behalf. Lest thou forget the Lord. Where would you and I be without the Lord this morning? I can tell you what, I probably would not be in church. I can probably assure you I might not have a lovely family. Might not have a church family. I can assure you I probably would not have the peace that I have right now in my heart. And the joy that overwhelms my heart. The direction that I have right now. Where would you and I be if it wasn't for the Lord? Beware lest thou forget the Lord. And on this Anzac Day, as we consider our Anzac motto, lest thou forget, just take it to its where it needs to be taken to the point where lest thou forget the Lord. Let's not lose sight that God of providence is in control. Within a Jewish home, it was the custom of the youngest child to arise just before the beginning of the Passover meal celebration and to ask the question publicly, Father, what does this all mean? And from that point, the father would arise and he would go through and formally begin that Passover meal, and he would remind the family, this is in remembrance how God in time past had delivered our people from the land of bondage. And my friend, for those of us that are Christians here this morning, we have been delivered from the bondage of sin. In the person and work of Jesus Christ, on this Anzac Day, we take time to reflect and remember those that gave their lives for our nation. And we would certainly be shortchanging God lest we forget the ultimate sacrifice of how Jesus Christ, God became flesh, went to an old rugged cross, and upon that old rugged cross, He shed His blood. Not for His own sin, but for your sin and for my sin, that I might have a home in heaven. That's the ultimate sacrifice. I'm thankful for fellow Australians that gave their life for our nation. But I'm eternally thankful for the Son of God, He that was without sin, became sin for you and I, that we might experience God's forgiveness. Lest we forget the Lord. Meditation upon what God has done in the past will strengthen our faith for the future. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The word "wherefore" there in verse 1 is in reference to the previous chapter 11, which has been referred to as the Hall of Fame, or the Hall of Faith, I should say, where God names some great men and women of God that have gone before us. How they by faith were victorious. And God tells us, because of this great cloud of witnesses, so to speak, may this energize us to run the race that is set before us. See, meditating on what God has done in the past will strengthen our faith for the future. Lest we forget the Lord, the principle of remembrance. Shortly before David stood before Goliath, he was energized in faith as he reflected upon the fact that God enabled him to defeat a lion and a bear. And David simply meditated upon the thought, if God can empower me to defeat a lion and a bear, certainly God can empower me to take care of this giant over here. Amen. So meditation upon what God has done in the past will energize us, strengthen us spiritually for the future. And throughout the Psalms, brethren, we have many references to how God has worked. And this is one of the many reasons why I exhort you, my friend, to read a psalm a day. Because it will strengthen your faith as we reflect upon what God has done. In Psalm 77, verse 11, it reads, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." And brethren, if we are to press forward with that Anzac spirit, so to speak, spiritually, then you and I need to beware lest we forget the Lord, the workings of God in the past. We need to stand back from time to time and just remember what God has done for us. And this will strengthen us to trust God and do greater things in the future. Among our Anzacs, rosary is a symbol of remembrance. The ancient Greeks believed that rosemary made their memories stronger. I think I need a little bit more rosemary in my life. So if you've got a good recipe using lots of rosemary, let me know. And this idea continues today as people wear sprigs of rosemary, symbolizing remembrance for those who have died in battle. And may God and the power of the Holy Spirit cause us to remember His great workings in the past, that we might be encouraged and strengthened spiritually to trust God for the future. What is it that you are looking to God to do in the future for you? May I encourage you to just stand back and ask the blessed Holy Spirit of God to bring to memory what God has done in the past? And God will use that to strengthen you and encourage you for the future. The principle of remembrance. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. This was God's charge to His people shortly before entering the promised land. And this is my charge to the people of God this morning. On this Anzac Day, lest we forget the Lord. As we are mindful of those that gave their lives for our nation, more so, let's be mindful of that ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And my friend, if you will repent and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be born into God's family. You can be delivered from the land of bondage, so to speak, the bondage of sin. And you can become a child of God. The principle of remembrance. Secondly, I'd like for us to emphasize this morning the principle of warfare. Number one, the principle of remembrance. Number two, the principle of warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Teaches us that we are in a spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are in a spiritual warfare. Australia has been involved in four main wars in our brief history, the last 200 odd years. World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. War, though it is even though war is not desired, it is a reality in the physical and spiritual world. It's a reality. You can't deny the fact. And we are not to be pacifists. You know what a pacifist is? One that would refuse to go to war if summoned. The Bible teaches us we have to fight the good fight of faith. Something that days like today glorifies warfare. And is an objection to peace. But the opposite is true. The opposite is true. See? It is because men and women have been willing to fight for a cause that we have the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy today. The Bible teaches us we need to be prepared to war a good warfare against the forces of evil. Even though warfare is not desirable, it's a reality. In the physical world, and more so in the spiritual world. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible teaches us that we are in a spiritual war. I understand that each Australian soldier that had a part in World War I and World War II was given a Bible as part of their uniform. That's my understanding. Now, whether they used that Bible, read that Bible, sought comfort in that Bible, I don't know. But I'd like to think that many did. And my friend, our Bible is our weapon for warfare. And we need to pull it out and use it for God's glory. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11, the Bible reads, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The Anzac spirit entails the principle of remembrance. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. And secondly this morning, the Anzac spirit acknowledges the principle of warfare, that we are in a warfare. We are in a spiritual battle. And we need to put on the whole armor of God. I'm afraid that many of God's people are spiritual pacifists. May God deliver us from physical pacifists. But more so, may God deliver us from spiritual pacifists that refuse to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. That will not be involved in spiritual warfare. And may I submit to you as a child of God, whether you like it or not, you have been enlisted. In fact, you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, God has placed us on a battlefield. You can ignore all you like that there is a battle taking place, but it doesn't change the facts. We're on a battlefield. And brethren, this morning, we need to put on the whole armor of God, do we not? I'm sure that every available weaponry item was used by our Australian soldiers. Could it be said of us spiritually? Are we putting on the whole armor of God? I often wonder, why is God's army so weak? Why is it that we don't see more happen in our day? We're on the winning side. We have the eternal word. Jesus Christ is coming again. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. But why is it that God's army is not having the impact that it should? Could it be that we are failing to put on the whole armor of God? Could it be that we are on the battlefield, but the average believer is in spiritual ignorance that there is a battle taking place? And could it be that some of God's people on that battlefield are not armed accordingly? They're not maximizing that armor of God. In verse number 11, the Bible teaches us that we are to put on the whole armor of God, does it not? If we are to combat, if we are to be victorious on the battlefield as Bible-believing Christians, we need to put on the whole armor of God. God spells that out to us from verses 14 and following. The portion of truth. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. We as Bible-believing Christians need to hold on to truth. The truth of God's Word wholeheartedly. Not waver to the left and not waver to the right, but be true Bible-believing Christians. And I would dare say the average church, the average believer is weak spiritually because they have not treasured the truth of God's Word as they ought to. Many of God's believers, God's people, don't even believe that God created in 6 literal days. That's foundational truth, is it not? How can we possibly stand if we don't even believe the foundation concerning our being? Truth. The principle of righteousness at the end of verse 14. Living a righteous life. As opposed to living a godless life. An immoral life. A sinful life. A pleasure-filled life. Living a righteous life. Seeking to be holy just like our God is holy. Then verse 15 makes reference to our feet being covered with a gospel of peace. That's in reference to proclaiming the gospel. Being proactive in proclaiming the gospel. Going to the highways and byways and compelling others to come in. Verse 16 makes reference to the shield of faith. Walking in obedience by faith based upon the word of God. Living by faith. Verse 17 makes reference to the helmet of salvation, the assurance of being saved. Many churches don't even believe that one is saved forever. My friend, salvation that is not eternal is not eternal life. It's as simple as that. It's a contradiction of terms. The assurance of salvation, knowing that you're saved in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to read, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Using God's Word. The average believer, the only time he or she uses the Word of God is on a Sunday morning. When the pastor begins his sermon by making the statement, will everybody turn their Bible to? And that's it. Brethren, if we are to be victorious in this spiritual warfare that we're in, we need to pull out the sword of the Spirit 7 days a week. And last but not least, this is a neglected portion of the armor in the life of many of God's people, praying always. Praying always. Prayer. My friend, this morning, the principle of remembrance. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. And on this day, we are called upon as a nation to remember those that have given their life, that we might enjoy the freedoms, the liberties that we have today. But more so, as Bible-believing Christians, should we not as well remember the Lord who gave His life that we might be delivered from the penalty and power and ultimately the presence of sin? Beware lest thou forget the Lord. And secondly, my friend, this morning, we are in a spiritual warfare. When I think of Anzac Day, it reminds me of warfare. Fighting. And we as Bible-believing Christians, we are on a battlefield and we need to put on the whole armor of God if we are to stand. The truth be known, the average believer is not standing for very long. Could it be because they haven't put on the whole armor of God? And the Bible gives us the promise, if we put on the whole armor of God, we will stand against the wiles of the devil. That's a promise. It's possible as a Bible-believing Christian to live in victory. But we must put on the whole armor of God. May the Anzac spirit prevail in your life, in my life. The principle of remembrance. The principle of warfare. And this evening, by God's grace, we'll note a number of further principles. Spiritual principles that needs to be evident in your life and in my life if we are to press on for God's glory. Let's bow for prayer.